You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who's ready to drop the 2 and a 3. Here we go, baby. Survivor 43, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to It's Kickoff Day. Happy Survivor Announcement Day to you. We will be talking about our 18 new friends that will be participating in Survivor 43. And here we have a man at the center of it all, of course, with all the scoops and all the Survivor news. Here he is. Of course, we know him as Mixmaster Mike Bloom. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing so well, Rob. Ready to talk about Survivor 43, or as I have been calling it to nobody in particular, Survivor 43, because all the tribes are named after trees this season.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's something.
Yeah, I mean, I know that we're done with themes and subtitles, but if I could get my own sort of theme for this season, I'd say Survivor 43, colon, a new leaf, because truly it feels like we are branching out into this new era of Survivor.
Okay, we're branching out, of course. We are back to talk about everything that we know at this hour, which is mostly the cast. We do not know a lot of other details about the game. Is that correct?
Yeah, so one of, I think, the big to-dos that we'll talk about is the idea of this is the first season since the quote-unquote new era has began, right, that people will have seen the new era, in a manner of speaking. 42, of course, was not able to see 41, so they sort of reacted to sort of the reruns of a lot of twists in different ways. This is the first time that people are out there knowing a bit of at least what they assume is coming. And the big question that both the contestants ask themselves in my interviews, as well as, you know, what I'm hoping to get from people like Jeff Probst a little bit further down the line in terms of this preseason, is how much is staying and how much is going? Does the new era mean these things will now stay hallmarks of it? Does it mean, okay, every single like yearly cycle, we're bringing in something new? Or is it somewhere in between? So yeah, suffice it to say, the only thing we really truly know at the moment is the 18 players and the fact that the logo has an octopus in it. Those are really the two big things to know. But we don't know if the season has an octopus in it. We don't even know that.
We don't really know. And really, the logos for season 1 and 42 were in no way indicative of anything that happened in those seasons.
Yeah,
so we won't give up.
Of course, yes. 41, of course, had the drowning, and 42 had the maze.
And the lock and the key. All right. There was a key, I think.
Yeah, and I do believe, I mean, 42 more so had the drowning than 41, considering like all that stuff that happened with the ladder in the water that one time. So yeah, do not take the logo at face value, though I will say my lovely tattoo did a little bit of like squeeing in joy when it saw an octopus onto it. But yeah, the real thing that we know at this hour are these 18 contestants, but that's almost enough at this moment. A lot like them, we are not sure what season 43 is going to provide, especially in comparison to 41 and 42. But either way, I think we have a group of 18 players that seem really engaged and really dynamic to take on whatever the hell is going to be thrown their way.
Okay, so we're going to tell you about everything we know at this hour. And Mike is really on top of all this. He's got a lot of information. He's gone through it. We will have more podcasts coming your way where we will do an in-depth preview of each of the three tribes. Mike, those are going to be rolling out in the next basically a week and a half, right?
Yeah, just about. I think we're planning to do one tribe at the end of this week and then two tribes over the course of next week. Same thing with my written interviews at parade.com. For those that have not necessarily fancied upon our preseason stuff beforehand, basically what we do is that before the season started, I had the great pleasure of being able to submit questions to be asked to the contestants before going out to play. And essentially, I did a little bit of magic behind the scenes to make it seem like I was there in person on the island asking these questions.
So good.
Oh, yes. It's audio grilled cheese to the ears in a manner of speaking. But basically, we'll get the opportunity to listen to these contestants, get to know them a bit more before getting to see them play out on the island. We'll also go off of stuff based in their bios, which have been released, as well as I know CBS is releasing these like 1 minute getting to know you videos. Today is really just going to be like a first impressions overview of these 18 players. And Rob and I are going to get more in depth both in the podcast version as well as my written article stuff that's going to be coming out in parade.com pretty much around the same time frame. I'm releasing two interviews a day for the next 9 days. So I'd say it's coming at you, you know, like relatively hot and heavy, but we are only 3 weeks before the season starts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so get ready for that. Make sure you subscribe to RHAP to make sure you don't miss any of that. Go to robiswebsite.com/subscribe. You can subscribe for free. We're going to give you as many podcasts as you can handle. You don't have to pay any money. robiswebsite.com/subscribe. All right, so Mike, Where do we want to start after this long, very long offseason of Survivor? Yeah.
Let's talk about that because it has been so odd to be a reality TV event. You say so long, but like, Rob, it's only been a little over 3 months since 42 broke.
Yeah.
But I think for those of us out there on these reality TV streets, especially like those of us tuned into Big Brother 24, which I think has been one of the most eventful American seasons of Big Brother that I have ever seen, where every day has felt like a week. I just literally finished last week covering South African Survivor, Return of the Outcast, which was this like big, fantastic returnee season. So it feels a little odd to say, oh, wow, it's Survivor 43 season already. And it's almost a sign of, to go back to the tree analogy, the changing of the leaves, that now we sort of welcome in something that we haven't probably thought about in a little bit, which is Survivor US proper.
Yeah. So it's back. I believe September 21st is the premiere night. And then are we also getting a week of Big Brother also at the same time, or a half a week of Big Brother? Big Brother is going to be the finale is going to be on a Sunday, correct? So we will have a little overlap.
Yeah, let's do a little bit of like TV guiding right now. So September 21st, we are going to be getting a 2-hour premiere of Survivor 43. They're going to go with the tradition that they set up with 41 and 42. That leads me to assume that we're once again going to get two boots in that cycle, whether that's going to be another double tribal council situation like 41, or maybe another situation like 42 where we see a vote out and maybe something else happen.
Well, 42 is a little bit extenuating circumstances. I guess we should presume it was going to go the same way as 41.
Yes. And then that's going to be followed at 10 p.m. by the premiere of The Amazing Race 34. Then the next week, that Wednesday, is going to be, I believe, for the first time, it's going to be a 90-minute episode of Survivor. I think the first like non-premiere, non-finale episode of Survivor to be longer than an hour, basically. There's going to be a 90-minute Survivor episode and a 90-minute Amazing Race episode. And then we're back to 1 hour Survivor episodes.
I feel like during Winners at War, I feel like towards the end, like the episode before the finale, it was like that it was COVID and they had nothing else to put on TV. And I think that there might have been like a longer runtime, but I think it was mostly just like the thing that they would have put on the finale that they put at the end of the episode.
Yeah. Well, they did 2 hours and two rounds in 2 hours, if I remember correctly. And so
is that what it was?
Yeah, and so I'd imagine we're still going to get one round in 90 minutes. It'd kind of be odd if they just sort of, you know, scrunch two rounds into a 90-minute period. But yeah, set your DVRs accordingly. But other than that, I mean, a lot of others are unknown. Once again, I don't know if we're doing another like big two-hour merge episode. Of course, we're going up against the holidays as it gets into December here, though it now is sort of like airing, I think, maybe a little bit earlier than it has, maybe like a week or so before it usually does. Again, it usually coincides with the Big Brother finale. But I think now that Survivor is doing these like big 2 hour premieres, that's not exactly something they're doing anymore.
All right. Well, Mike, we've got a lot of Survivor to look forward to. Why don't we start to meet our new Survivor friends? And we do know our three new tribes. OK, so why don't you take us through this first tribe? Mike, tell us about this tribe, Baka.
Yes, the Baka tribe. I would not be reaching out to the kids if I didn't say there are some sussy Bakas here.
Okay, I can't wait to get back together with Stephen Fish Baka.
Yes, exactly. Nice plug for the know-it-alls.
And we'll Stephen Fish Baka.
We'll see if any tears or gastrointestinal distress is shedded on the island here with the Baka tribe. And yeah, we should say tribes were released here. And so I think that'll also be a fun element of the podcast that you and I get to do, Rob, is like not only getting to figure out who each of these players are, but really seeing how they get involved with each other, because I would imagine they're going to keep at least the thing going from 41 and 42 of no swaps, small three tribes until the merge.
Okay. I mean, we'll see. I mean, really, like, it's going to be so interesting once the season gets started to see, because like last season was like, well, we didn't get to see how anything played out, so we just did it all again because it's just an experiment. But now, like, they do have a chance to go back to the drawing board. Like, yeah, that really did not work. Let's not do that again. So,
or just add Applebee's to every twist, because that was Jeff's problem again with the hourglass the last time. So you're not sure. I will also plug at the top here that I will have the chance to speak with Jeff Probst at some point before the premiere. I asked him some questions about, to your point, like, how do you approach this from your perspective? How does he expect the cast is approaching it, having already seen the new era? Essentially to see, like, from production's perspective, what are we to expect from Survivor 43? Because even, like, the one-minute preview we got at the end of 42 didn't give a lot away. It seems like there's a press release that came out today that talked about really doubling down on this idea of, like, moral dilemmas and danger, et cetera. Okay. But we're not even sure what that involves.
All right, Mike, let's talk about our first Survivor 43 contestant. Okay, tell me about Ellie.
All right, so we're talking with Ellie Scott. She is 31, a clinical psychologist from Salt Lake City. She actually started watching Survivor when she was in grad school, and a friend said, hey, there's this woman named Michelle Fitzgerald that you kind of look like. You should watch her play.
Okay.
And she sort of like fell in love with the show ever since. As I mentioned before, she's a clinical psychologist. She actually specializes in treating veterans with PTSD.
Oh.
And, you know, much like we saw last season in a therapist in Tori, very much looking to use her sort of like interpersonal therapeutic skills to her advantage. And speaking of advantages, she declared that she wants to be the next advantage queen of Survivor.
Wow, that's a big claim.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Again, so to time things out, because this also reflect in the interviews, if I'm remembering my calendar correctly, I believe they saw at least through the pre-merge of Survivor 42 mm-hmm. before they came out there. So like Drea, for example, was very much at the top of mind of Ellie, right? Because like Drea entered that merge with the extra vote, with the advantage amulet, with the idol. And she very much was like seeing that and said, okay, how can I essentially do that? Not necessarily knowing what befalls Drea afterwards.
No, obviously not. So, okay. Is she an all denim, Mike?
No, I think it's just like, I will also say the Issa look is going to be fantastic this time, because some of these outfits, especially on the women, are just like, need an entire dissertation on them. I just think it's a lovely navy blue pattern. I don't even think it's navy blue, some sort of blue pattern.
Okay. All right. Anything else you want to tell us about Ellie?
No, we can move on to the next one. Let's talk about Janine.
Janine.
Janeet Zhang. She is 24. She is a UX designer from San Francisco. So Janeet
Survivor could use one of those.
Yeah, exactly. Like, work on your website, people. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, Janeet, this is not only a dream that she's acting on, but her father's dream as well. Her father immigrated from China, really like raised her watching this show, absolutely fell in love with the show. She's been watching since she was a kid. She sort of comes from this perspective of she has been very like academic and high achieving her entire life, kind of put in this box. And she's looking at Survivor as a way to bust out of that box, to maybe achieve in a different way, but maybe in a way that's more accustomed to who she is as a person.
Okay. I mean, that sounds good. Is that something that Survivor has done for a lot of people?
I mean, there's been a lot of talk, I think, especially in this cast with the interviews, right, about like the personal journey stuff. I wonder if that's a reflection as well of 41 and 42, where the editing very much reflected of like, this game changes you. No matter how much money you take away at the end of the day, the emotional net worth increases quadruply from it, no matter where you place. And so Janeet is, I think, one example of someone who's going out there being like, yeah, the money would be nice, but I'm really looking to prove myself and change myself, which I would imagine a player certainly vocalized in the past, but I think is something that has become at least more prominently, explicitly expressed with this new era of players.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else about Janeet?
No, we'll see if, despite being a UX designer, if her game SUX.
Oh, wow. Didn't even think of that.
Warming up the motor, Rob.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. All right. All right. Tell me about Mike Gabler.
Yeah. So this is Mike Gabler, though he's going to go by his last name here. Our second Mike in a row in the season. He's going to be a last name guy. Yeah, he does look like an 1840s prospector that was frozen and thawed out to play on Survivor. But don't take that at face value, Rob. Mike Gabler is a heart valve specialist, 52 years old, from Meridian, Idaho. So Mike is a big family guy. He says that Survivor nights are
like
a huge...
Peter Griffin?
Yeah, exactly. He looks just like him too. But he's going to sit around with his kids watching the show. They pause it down. It takes him 2 hours to watch an episode because they're thinking through every decision that has been made.
Oh my God.
He has a big heart about, in particular, his teenage daughters. He talked about actually in his interview how he's already cried out there in pregame just because he has so much attachment to them back home. He knows that he has a bit of like a... He calls himself a severe looking guy. He calls himself a larger mammal. But he says that it's one of these things of, for lack of a better term, if he can work his way into the hearts of others, that he'll be able to endear himself.
Yeah. What do you mean he calls himself a larger mammal?
I'm just quoting him directly, Rob. I don't know if this
a larger mammal than what?
I mean, I guess your average bear, which is another mammal. I don't know if this is some sort of beluga whale that made a wish upon a star to play Survivor. And this is him. Mm. He does sort of look like a distant relative of Mike Barassi the first time I saw him. Another Mike.
Another mean motor scooter.
Yeah, exactly.
Take you downtown to Chinatown for a heart valve.
So Mike is our oldest player of the season at 52 years old. And you never know. Again, we just had another player in his 50s, another Mike, you know, despite maybe sticking out a bit in his initial tribe, go on to play and earn a very close spot to that win right there. And so we'll see if success gets replicated, much like the twist this season.
Okay. All right. We'll be keeping an eye out on Mike Gabler.
All right. Let's go to Mariah Young, who has certainly made people's eyes pop. And we're not just talking about the rainbow parachute from gym class that she is wearing as a dress.
Yes. Well, what are you talking about?
Well, she has a big personality. She, I think, popped a lot during the preview for Survivor 43 that aired. She is a teacher and an artist from Philadelphia. I think Gia Worthy tweeted this out with this very, I think, now that I've listened to Mariah and watched her, like, very apropos. She's like a different version of Janeet from Abbott Elementary, essentially, in playing Survivor, despite Ava being the bigger Survivor fan of the Abbott Elementary cast. So she is 28 years old. From Philadelphia, she calls herself, quote, a powerhouse of energy and excitement. Her general, like, overall demeanor is, I want to, much like staying in a national park, I want to leave the space I enter more bright and colorful than when I entered it. And
is that what you do at a national park? A national park?
Yeah, isn't the rule like leave your space cleaner than when you entered it? You know,
oh my God.
Don't leave crap behind.
I didn't know you're supposed to make it better.
I mean, that's a general rule because it's almost like
to be
early is to be on time. To be on time is to be late. Like shoot for the moon and you land amongst the stars or whatever that astronomical analogy is.
Yeah.
But back to Mariah, who may or may not be a star in her own right. Again, I think you'll get from the interview, she is a big, bright personality. And, you know, she is also playing for like a very good yet kind of solemn reason. She grew up watching Survivor with her mother who did pass, and her mother sort of had like a bucket list of things that she wanted to do. And one of them was to play Survivor. And Mariah is coming on not only to make her own dream come true, but to like check this final thing off her mother's bucket list.
Okay. And Mike, we have back-to-back Mariahs on Survivor.
Yeah. Back-to-back Mikes and back-to-back Mariahs.
Look at us.
They're popular.
Okay. All right. So Mariah Young.
Yes. And one of the younger, I believe, members of the tribe as well. Now, that's the other thing, too, that should be noted. I think it's a notably younger cast than last time. I think Mike is actually the only member of the cast in his 50s. We've shifted more towards like the 20s for this particular cast. I don't know if that's a trend.
Mm-hmm.
I will also say this cast feels a little more, I think, white collar to me.
Oh.
On the whole, than the past couple of seasons. Not to say that there's not like a diversity in jobs and in backgrounds, but there's a lot of like office job, teachers, salesmen. We're about to talk about a director of admissions as opposed to like your get down and dirty types that, you know, populated an entire tribe in Survivor Worlds Apart.
Yeah. Do you feel like we had more blue collar or no collar people in 41 and 42?
I'm trying to think. I guess I would say maybe no collar in 41. And I don't know, 42 seemed, I think, a little bit more of like a wash overall. I don't know. Maybe people can like correct me and do their own sorting if we want to, like we usually do with these seasons, right? Of like, put the cast into brains, brawn, beauty, or blue collar, white collar, no collar. But I just think it's interesting that there are a lot of like more 9-to-5 people, in my opinion, in this particular cast than there have been in previous ones as of late.
Yeah. Okay. Who else you got, Mike? Here he is.
All right. We'll see if Owen
the
Knight
King,
if he has what it takes to a win. He is 30 years old, a college admissions director from New Orleans.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I see a lot of people standing Owen already.
Yeah. I mean, Owen, Davey actually just put this out that I think he was in the running, nearly got on Survivor David versus Goliath. So this was sort of like, to go back to your Game of Thrones analogy, is Rob, the prince that was promised in a manner of speaking, and that he finally has the opportunity 6 seasons later to go out there. He talked in my interview about the surprisingly cutthroat world of college admissions and how
really?
He feels like that has actually prepared him for the game with this ability, right, to like convince people to come to you or to deal with people that want you to join up with them or to do the things that they want to do, which obviously brings a lot of interpersonal skills therein. He also knows, like he goes off of his perception. He knows that he's kind of like walking the odd balance between the long-haired woo type and the sort of like brainier glasses wearing type. But he sort of fancies himself sort of like a master of none in that regard. And so wants to find as many shields as he can, both of the meat variety and the brain variety, no matter what the perception may be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Feeling good about Owen.
Yeah, absolutely. And so let's finish off the Baka tribe with someone that maybe in a different universe, Owen may have admitted into his college. We're talking about Sammy Leadi, who has maybe one of the oddest professions I've seen in a while.
Yeah, I caught this.
Rob.
Yeah.
Pet cremator.
All right. Here we go. We got something.
Jan Gentry's favorite.
Eat your heart out, Jan.
Exactly.
He's going to leave the competition in the dust.
Oh, God. I'll go get the urn. Don't worry, Jeff. I've got it taken care of.
Yeah. That happens to be my specialty.
I cannot
fire making? No problem.
So, yeah, we go from the oldest member of the cast in Gabler to the youngest member of the cast, Sammy, just 19 years old. He's the one that people also recognize from the 43 trailer, sort of like the combination of Zach Rance with the Patrick Mahomes hair. He is young and he is confident. He talked a lot in my interview about how he's like, I understand I may be perceived as cocky just because of these genetics, these good looks. I like my pearly whites. I like my quads. But he talks about how he has a good amount of insecurities that lie underneath there. He has an interesting origin story for Survivor that I won't get into. It'll be a little bit of a teaser for when we do our interviews. But he is aware of his age. And so it's very much looking to steer into that sort of like likable kid archetype, mm-hmm. which so far has not exactly led to complete success. But we'll see if he is indeed able to become the youngest Survivor winner ever.
Yeah, I think it's not a great track record for the very young person that tries to come on and feels like that they're going to really be the crowd favorite. I think it's tough to do that on purpose. I think it kind of just happens to people who aren't necessarily looking to do it, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see if by the time his torch is snuffed, everyone's saying ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Mike, should we talk about our second tribe?
Yes, this is a tribe that's going to be telling us, remember me, it's Coco.
Coco!
Here we go. Coco Montrese. Girl, why you look so blue in mm-hmm. those buffs? Yeah, another tribe of six. I will say, overall, we'll get into this with like the Baka interviews. Baka, I think a lot of people are assuming is going to be kind of like our hot mess tribe. I would say Coco is probably our like happy medium. Because of the blue colors, probably a little bit of
medium
like
Coco.
Cooler, more mellow tribe, I think, in comparison
cool,
to
mellow.
The other two.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Coco, good tribe names so far this season.
Yeah, I like it. All of them are only four letters long. I mean, it's nothing on Ua, which is our only two-letter tribe name, but still pretty quick. It's like back in the Survivor Cook Islands days, right, where they did the four-letter nicknames.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's talk about Coco.
All right, let's start with from a CC to another CC.
Okay.
Cassidy Clark.
Yeah.
Cassidy is a 26-year-old fashion designer from Austin, Texas. So
yes.
Cassidy has an interesting story. So Cassidy was one of these people who was supposed to be on, you know, the Multiverse season 41 back in 2020, was weeks away from getting to make her lifelong dream come true. And then the pandemic happens and she's not able to go on. But she actually used that as an opportunity to sort of re-engage and restudy herself. She had to go back through the entire application process. And now she's back and she's kind of almost treating it like a second chance in that regard.
Okay. Ooh, Survivor Second Chances for Cassidy.
Yeah, but, And we already moved on from the Fischabacca tribe. Mm-hmm. But I will say she is serving right now.
Right.
I do wonder if like her look is a design that she had made. She has a lot of initiative, a lot of drive, and we'll see if she has the designs to win the game and make it work amidst all of the new twists and turns.
Yes. I mean, I don't know if she had like a fan blowing on the island or if she just like threw her hair back that way. But I mean, she's got everything on point.
Yeah, it might be one of like the best beachy photos, I think, that we have seen in quite some time. And that might have to be a triple O, Rob, that you and I do in the next offseason with Bryce as to like best cast Fiji photos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very well done from Cassidy.
All right, let's move on here to Gio Bustamante. Gio is a 36-year-old project manager from Honolulu, Hawaii, yeah. Rob. Finally, we are crossing one state off the map. We had this happen with Brad, our first contestant from Wyoming two seasons ago. Now we have not one, but two contestants from Hawaii.
What are we down to? Are there any like survivor states we haven't crossed off? Alaska?
Oh, definitely Alaska. I think the Dakotas, at least one of them is certainly there as well. I think we've got maybe like five or so states that are left.
Okay. Oh, the last five holdouts.
So Gio, I said project manager, I should more so say was, because Gio
yes.
actually had to quit his job to come to Survivor. So he perhaps has the most nothing to lose approach here of I need that paycheck and I need it now. Gio has this very unique background. He was born in Peru. He's a military spouse, but he really does credit the show with making him who he is today. He very much comes in with this perspective of Survivor taught me that you can shine sort of not in spite of, but because of your insecurities, of the things that people might not like about you or make fun of you for. And as a guy who is shorter, who grew up being made fun of for being gay, for being an immigrant, he's really looking at this as an opportunity to like shine in his own way and show that, you know, Gio can be Gio on Survivor and hopefully succeed thusly.
Okay. So excited for Gio. Is it short for something? Do we know?
Not that I'm aware of, or at least from what we've been told. What, geography? You think that's what it's short for?
Maybe.
Could be.
Yeah.
Okay. Could have been his parents' favorite subject in school.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, we'll see if his name gets put on the map this season.
Okay. Good. Well done, Mike.
All right. Let's move on here to Carla. Carla Cruz Godoy. Carla is 28. She is an educational project manager from Newark, Delaware. Carla is somebody who very much had this attitude of she was watching the show and she felt underrepresented, specifically when it came to the category of queer women of color. And so she decided,
okay,
much like the beloved Sari, she was going to get off the couch and she was going to apply for the show and challenge herself. And she is someone who has been fighting and working essentially her entire life. She has a really great backstory where her parents were Mexican immigrants. She grew up in a very poor household and she worked her tail off to earn the Bill and Melinda Gates scholarship, the Millennium Scholarship, which is one of the most prestigious scholarships in the nation that has then supported her entire education through getting her PhD. And so she is sort of like using that as first and foremost evidence of like, look, I can change the situation I'm in and I can hustle my ass off to get it.
Okay. I mean, Carla is ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And she said she's going to try to play as like the love child almost of Sari and Tony, which we can only dream of.
But all right.
I'm very excited for Carla. I think some people are already clocking Carla's 1 minute video. And so I think we'll have a lot of fun talking about her.
Okay. Looking forward to getting more into everything that Carla has going on.
All right, let's move on here. James Jones. James Jones is a 37-year-old event planner from Philadelphia. So he ends up getting brought into the fandom and is really inspired by the work of a recent appearance on Snake in the Grass, Earl Cole.
Oh.
That was someone that really brought James on board to watching Survivor. He is someone who has done a lot of different things. He talks about, you know, going from Philadelphia into Florida to like a campus of 13,000 and being a small fish or a dolphin, if you will, in a big pond, to then working at like Pfizer to being in venture capital firms. So he really has this diversity of workplace experiences between, you know, collegiate experiences as well. And we're going to get a little bit of like devious James here as well. He is really excited about the new era in particular with the variety of advantages that are available to the point where he said, I want to, you know, make fake advantages for people to find. I want to make people feel like they have no vote when they actually do.
Whoa. Okay. That would be wild to see. I was a little disappointed, Mike, because I thought that this was going to be a former Packers wide receiver, James Jones. It turns out that is not this James Jones.
No, unfortunately not. Yeah, going to have to leave the grilled cheese heads maybe, but not the cheese heads are coming out here. Nor is this James Earl Jones.
This is
the time travel version.
I mean, that might be his middle name. You don't know.
It could
not be. That James Earl Jones.
I don't think so. He certainly is nobody's father out on the island. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I mean, would love to see some people making up some fake advantages.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. And I won't
fake
go too
disadvantages.
Much. Well, I won't get into too much with Survivor South Africa, but there were some people that did sort of, I think, widen the breadth of fake advantages where someone was like, oh, I have an idol nullifier when really they didn't. Oh, I actually, you saw I had an extra vote. I actually have a vote steal. And I agree. I think now because the advantage game has evolved so much beyond just like, here's an idol, I think creating fake advantages should be as well. Let's move away from the rock in the pocket and more so towards, here's my legacy advantage, Dean.
Okay. All right. Who else you got here on Coco?
Lindsay. Another repeat name, but a very different story. So this is Lindsay Carmine. She is a 42-year-old pediatric nurse from Downington, Pennsylvania. So she is a big fan of the show, really has been since the very beginning. But Lindsay, true to, you know, her occupation and especially what those on the front lines have been through in the past couple of years, truly has what she calls a servant's heart. She feels like her entire life has been about giving to others, giving to her family. Now she's doing it for Lindsay, that this is like the one time she's really allowing herself to be selfish. And she knows that she's coming in with this archetype as the older woman. She is from the South, so sort of having this southernly demeanor to her. And she predicts that hopefully that makes her the underdog of the season and that, you know, it'll give her the win when they underestimate her.
Okay. She is a mom, Lindsay?
Lindsay is a mom, yeah. So there is, she's got a really interesting story. There's a lot to mine out of Lindsay Carmine.
Okay. All right. Looking forward to hearing more about Lindsay.
All right. Let's finish off the Coco tribe with Ryan Medrano. Ryan is 25. He is a warehouse associate from El Paso. Ryan has a really interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
He was born with a form of mild cerebral palsy where he was told at one point that, you know, he would never walk. And not only has he learned to walk, but then some. He is also a personal trainer on the side. But it has really given him a new way to just approach his life, not only from a physical perspective, but he talks in my interview about how having cerebral palsy has rewired his brain in a manner of speaking, where like he has now had to go off of things like body language and tone out of people to try to like almost anticipate what they're saying and their reaction, because his brain takes a few seconds to digest everything. Now, in a game like Survivor, especially the modern version, where it feels like things are moving a mile a minute, that essentially means he has to be moving 2 miles a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is an amazing story.
Yeah. And so we shall see, you know, how exactly he's able to handle this. He definitely wants to use his physicality to his advantage. He really wants to come across as both the physical and, he says, emotional provider. He really wants to be leaned on as, for lack of a better term, a crutch with his tribe so that they feel like they can't get rid of him whatsoever. So I think he's really leading into, again, that idea of like smaller tribes. You have to keep me around and then I'll be able to like slip through and hopefully cut some throats along the way.
Okay. All right. Is that it for Coco?
That is it from Coco. Let's move on to our final tribe, Vessi.
Vessi. Okay. Vessi Fitness.
Exactly. Who flipped? We'll be asking all these contestants when the merge happens.
Yes. Okay. Is it buff red or orange?
Red. I think we're doing the typical, much like the aforementioned Worlds Apart, the typical red, blue, yellow three tribe
red
format.
Blue, yellow. Okay. All right. Tell me about Vessi.
All right, so we're starting with Cody Ossenmacher, hopefully not making an Ossenmacher out of himself mm-hmm. on the island. Though actually, speaking of Oss, he was the one who in the Survivor 43 teaser said, I live my life. I live to get radical. I've got that tattooed on my butt. And I think that's an indicator of Cody.
I don't recall that.
Cody's a wild boy, Rob. Cody is a wild boy.
I live to get radical on his butt? Yeah, he says,
I don't know if it's the sentence I live to get radical or if it's just get radical. I'm not sure
get
where
radical.
The quotations go. Right? It's like the Oxford comma thing of like mm-hmm. phrasing is important. But Cody works in, again, another oddly specific job title, elevator sales.
Yeah, I saw that. That's interesting. Like, do you think he goes to buildings and like, hey, got any elevators in here? You need one?
It's good that he's coming on to Survivor, which is a game full of ups and downs.
That's true.
Which is, I know, his job stead here. He is 35 years old, and he is also from Honolulu, Hawaii.
Oh.
Yeah, he moved there, and this is something that he sort of credits to hopefully his adaptability in the game. He moved from, like, farmland Iowa just to really give himself a brand new immersive experience. And so he did that and sort of became an island boy. Cody, what?
Island boy.
Yeah, I mean, this could be his nickname out there. I'm not entirely sure. I mean, we
as opposed
about
to like
right
F-boy island.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he may have been seen on that at some point in time. Mm-hmm. We'll see if there might be a Marvin from Big Brother type of thing where we'll see him pop up in some of those other dating shows. But you would definitely recognize him when you see him and not just with the butt tattoo. Cody says that apparently he's coming out there with like a mullet with lightning bolts shaved into the side of his head.
Okay, that'll be cool.
I mean, it's pretty cool for like an 8-year-old's birthday party, but mm-hmm. sure. I've been a Survivor contestant. We shall see as well. He knows that perception is going to lend into this idea, right, of him being the quote unquote crazy Hawaiian. And he's hoping that will really, allow people to underestimate him, possibly use him as a shield. And then that way he can sneak in with the wild card energy and truly, surf his way back to shore in the $1 million prize.
All right. Well, it should be fun to watch.
Absolutely. We'll be living to get radical, hopefully for 3 months moving forward.
Okay. Who else you got? Dwight Moore.
Dwight Moore, a 22-year-old graduate student from Collierville, Tennessee. He is currently studying at Stanford. So Dwight actually was doing some pretty successful stuff at a young age. He claims that even before high school, he had interviewed like 3 secretaries of state and a few senators. And basically he did it just by like, making the ask. Like, he really speaks from this idea of fearlessness and like, ask if you want to do something. The worst they can do is say no, which I think very much comes into play, right, when it comes to proposing things and pitching things out there on the island.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe that we could like expand the podcast guests that are on this podcast. So all you have to do is reach out.
Yeah. I mean, listen, do it in a nice way, before mm-hmm. Rob and I get our DM mailboxes full of being like, I want a hashtag be like Dwight. But It's a fun, inspiring story of what this guy was able to do at probably, age 13, interviewing secretaries of state. I mean, I have no idea what that interview was like, but still good for him. And he's going to bring that initiative to the island as well. He was definitely...
It wasn't a hard-hitting interview.
It could have been. I don't know. These 13-year-olds, man, these Gen Zers are coming at you.
I guess so.
The sussy bacas. They're coming at you from hard-hitting angles mm-hmm. nowadays.
How old is he now?
He's 22.
22. All right, so 10 years ago? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Who would be interviewing? Like John Kerry?
Madeline Albright?
Janet Reno?
Mm-hmm.
But he's one of those people that, there was a question that we bandied about as to how eager are you going to be to look for advantages? Dwight is, I think, one of the people that is most in on like, I got to start looking immediately, because when you have advantages, you have information and you have power. And we see how that's both worked for and against people so far in 41 and 42. And we'll see if Dwight lands in one category or the other.
I bet he got Condoleezza Rice. I feel like she does a lot of interviews.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And it was right at like the cusp end, right? Like, she was a decade removed from mm-hmm. the Bush administration. She's like, all right.
She talks about football.
Time for old Lisa to step out and start doing the circuits again. Who's up first? Oh, this 13-year-old boy. Perfect.
Please call me Condi, Dwight. Okay. And he'll know a thing or two about rice after this is over, Mike.
And we'll see if he'll find any weapons of mass destruction and advantages out there.
Who is next?
Let's go to Jesse.
Jesse Lopez.
Jesse is a 30-year-old political science PhD major.
From, we should interview some secretaries of state.
Well, get this, Rob. He could be interviewing you pretty soon. Durham, what? North Carolina. He's a Duke student.
Oh, okay.
So he could stop by your backyard if he really wants to.
I mean, please, ideally, please, nobody come visit me.
I mean, what did Dwight teach us?
Yeah. I'll happily do it on Zoom.
Well, Jesse has this really uplifting story where he went from being, you know, in a gang in juvenile hall on his way to prison with really turning his life around. Mm-hmm. He went on to get his bachelor's. Like I said, is getting his PhD, like just bought a house in a cul-de-sac with his wife and kids, who he's really playing to really just showcase, you know, he's trying to sort of be a figure to his children out there, which I think should play interestingly into maybe how deceptive he wants to be. But you know, he actually came into Survivor because he had been studying voting studies in his PhD program. And he's like, what's a program I can watch that involves voting that I could also be entertained by? And like, however many seasons later, he is now going to be the one hopefully casting votes, unless, you know, you have Ryan or whoever just putting those fake advantages into his bag.
Yeah. Okay. Is he currently a college student?
I think he's still in his PhD program, I believe. I don't believe he's doing anything else. I think he also said in my interview that he was, I think, like a survey methodologist. So that might just be something that he does on the side. But yeah, really, I'm expecting like a big package at some point about Jesse and like the journey that he has gone on to this point. Because it is really inspiring. And to that, though, he knows that the image that he still has, which sort of lingers from that youth, might be a bit tougher, right? A bit more unfriendly. And he's hoping to just give it enough time for people to be able to like break through and see the result rather than sort of the beginning of that process.
Okay. Who else is here, Mike?
All right, let's move on to Justine.
Justine Brennan. Yes.
Justine time. It's Justine Brennan. Justine works in cybersecurity sales.
Oh.
She is 29 years old.
Yes.
From Marina Del Rey, California. We'll see if any antivirus can be installed, any vote blockers, perhaps, as an example there. So Justine has sort of grown up knowing the meaning of hard work. Her parents have immigrated from the Philippines and raised essentially two children just like from the bottom up. And it's really fostered this attitude in her of like, okay, if I want something, it's not going to be in the hands of anybody else. I have to get up and do it myself.
Okay.
She is someone who, and this is interesting because I feel like this season, maybe more than the other two, we've had a good amount of people who sort of did the, yeah, I watched in 2000s, but really fell out. But like, then I got into the show a lot during lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
She's an example of this where like she started watching during lockdown. There's a story I think of like, her and her, maybe this is not her, her and like her, one of these castaways, her and her roommate, like binge watched a bunch of Survivor, like doing a sleepover almost within their own.
A sleepover?
Yeah, no Tony Vlachos involved, luckily, for everyone's glasses sake. But she's a recent lover of the show. And she's very upfront, very honest that she's not entirely sure how she'll be perceived. She says that she's initially looked at as sort of like, use this term given the Big Brother circumstances, but like a bit of a girl's girl, but she actually is a tomboy. She's very athletic. So the sort of enigmatic persona could either work for or against her.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll see what Justine brings to the table.
All right. Next up, we have Noelle Lambert. Noelle is 25 years old. She is from Manchester, New Hampshire, and she is a U.S. Paralympian. She competed in the U.S. Paralympic Games in Tokyo, I think it was last year, 2020.
Okay. What is her sport?
She's a track star. So basically what had happened was only about 6 years ago, Noelle had gotten into an accident and had lost her left leg. But she actually credits that as like the experience that has prepared her most for the game, right? Because it's this idea of like pushing through the discomfort, pushing against new situations and being able to persevere, where she was able to almost thrive and be able to find this brand new athletic career as a result of it. She is breaking some ground. She is the first above knee amputee in Survivor history. Of course,
okay.
we have had Chad Crittenden and Kelly Bruno as amputees beforehand. But even 43 seasons later, we still have a newness on a survivor here.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's very inspiring.
Yeah, again, like I think everyone has a story, which is cool. I really like what Survivor has done with its storytelling in 41 and 42 of like showcasing that everyone has a why for being out there on Survivor rather than just a who. And so I hope it doesn't discourage people from being like, I don't have a sob story, I can't get onto the show.
Yeah, because again, I have imposter syndrome. I'm not good enough to be on a Survivor.
Yeah, talk about sussy baka, feeling that imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that Noelle's story is really awesome. And that is to say, like, she wasn't someone that was just randomly picked up for the game. She is someone who has been watching the show for a long time.
Yeah,
her mom is like a big super duper fan and got her involved in it from the very beginning since she was 11 years old. Her big plan, surprise, surprise, is that she wants to grab other physical threats and sort of surround herself with them, knowing that they have less likely of a chance to get voted out and therefore could keep her safe going into a merge situation.
Okay. All right, that's Noelle.
That's Noelle. Last but not least, Neka Jireg. So Neka is the oldest woman on the cast. She is 43 years old. She is a pharmacist.
43 on 43.
There you go. It's her lucky number. And she is a pharmacist from Weatherford, Texas, by way of Nigeria.
Okay. All right.
So she immigrated from Nigeria, with a lot going on. She went over with her husband, two kids, while pregnant with a third kid, and essentially had to rebuild her life, but was able to do so incredibly effectively. She also very much got on the show during lockdown. Her oldest kid started getting into the show, and so she just kind of got sucked in as a result and went to apply, and now hopes her kids will think she's cool for being on Survivor.
You can hope that, but, you know, your kids, they, you know, Mike, you know, Ash is too young for this, but, you know, that there's like sometimes there's nothing you could do. Your kids. They're going to say rude things.
Well, I think it depends, though. Like, I feel like your kids are still in that territory where, like, I know they watch these shows, but they don't necessarily care. I do think maybe when they get around the age to, like, really digest and maybe even get around the age to apply for Survivor, I think they'd have more appreciation for your game.
I don't know, Mike. We went to go to SmackDown a couple of weeks ago. My son said to me, oh, Dad, maybe we'll be on TV on a show that people actually watch.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. That is sass for everyone who is watching and listening along to this podcast. I feel like that's shade on all of us here, much like the trees that are naming this tribe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He later said he wasn't talking about Survivor. He's talking about actually Rob as a podcast that nobody watches.
Okay, well, maybe a little bit slightly less, but still a burn nonetheless.
I think it was worse when he explained it. Yeah.
Yeah, but Neka comes in from this very, again, like familial community building skills are the ones that she's really pumping up. But interestingly, she reveals it might lay a bit counter to the lying and backstabbing of it all. This idea of, okay, maybe I won't necessarily want to do this, and maybe I'll try to change the game so it's not necessarily the thing to do first and foremost. We'll see how successful she is. But yeah, it's another really interesting story, and I think a really interesting cast.
Okay. All right. That's it. That's 18.
That's 18. I apologize to our lovely neighbors up north after going 2 for 2 for wins. No Canadians this season.
Well, maybe don't win the show every single time and you can still be on it. Give us a chance.
You
it's
want
not
to
fair.
Sandbag it a little bit of like, oh, we'll fall back to that way. We'll be able to give ourselves a chance of being on future seasons.
Yeah. I mean, well, what are you going to do? So
I don't know. It's tough. I feel bad for everyone up there that it's like, all right, well, I'm disqualified from the race because I had won the past two heats. I want to give everybody else a chance. But now we have 18 Americans here back as the way Survivor was pre-39.
Especially like after like Omer and Marianne were such big personalities. I'm surprised to not have them bring back a Canadian for season 43.
Well, for 43, you never know with 44, right? That like with 43, we only had a couple. Maybe we'll have like a surplus of maybe it'll be oops, all Canadians in Survivor 44. But at least for 43, though, again, there are stories about, you know, Gio and Neka both, you know, immigrated. We know that people like Justine, Janine, both are first gen stories. So like there's still a lot of, I think, colorful tales being brought to these contestants, even if they do all hail from the 50 states.
Okay. All right, Mike, anything else that we want to get into at this hour for Survivor 43?
Yeah, I figured I'd finish things off with a little fun preview of what's to come, Rob.
Yes.
I have a game, perhaps a game within the game, if you will.
Okay, any word if that's back?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, probably not.
At least not from what, I don't think that, I think the Rebus puzzles unfortunately got burned in the fire alongside with some of Sammy's clientele.
Oh, no.
But
they were cremated.
So, like I said, Rob, you and I over podcasts and me over the course of Parade.com over the next week and a half are going to get to find out about these contestants. And as I had the opportunity to interview them, now NFL season is but a week away. And in the spirit of that, I'm gonna throw out some lines for you here, Rob.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw out a line and I want you to tell me if by the end of this, by the end of all these interviews, if you think the amount suggested will be over or under the line that I put out there.
Okay. All right. And this is based on Survivor 43 or these are in the preseason interviews?
The preseason interviews specifically. So all you're forecasting what we're about to talk about in the next three podcasts.
All right. Okay.
Now, and again, people can play along at home as well in true game within the game fashion. So, Rob, when we asked the players, which winner and which non-winner do you associate with yourself the most? Over under, four of them mentioned Ceree Fields.
For which non-winner? Boy, I was looking at this a little bit on the website. I feel like that they basically like seem to know like four different people. I would say I will take the over four.
Okay. And just
by the way,
people really, I'm not going to reveal the answer. Yeah. We're just putting a pin on this until the end of everything.
I'll say over four. And of course, so much great stuff with the cast from Snake in the Grass this week. I know you talked to them as well. We had a fun podcast this week with the aforementioned Ceree, Stephanie, Janelle, and Rachel Riley. That is up right now on robswebsite.com.
Yeah, it was a really fun episode. I would say for any Snake in the Grass historians or like people who at least watch the Earl Ewell Malcolm episode, it's a very different storytelling, but it still is like, it was, to be honest, like as a decades long reality TV fan, it was a very much pinch me moment personally to like talk with Ceree and Stephanie and Janelle and Rachel, some of the most like popular reality TV players in their zenith of all time. It was absolutely ridiculous. And like you could tell on the episode, they had so much appreciation for each other as well. So yeah, that's a really fun talk to you. And we'll see if Ceree is mentioned over or under four times in the course of our interviews.
Okay.
So we asked them, what one life experience do you feel has prepared you most for the game? Rob, over or under, five people said, quote, my entire life has prepared me for the game. Like, it was kind of the cop-out answer.
Take the over. Take the over on that, too.
Yeah, especially given some of their backstories.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the legacy of 41 and 42. Rob, over under, eight castaways made a reference to Survivor 41 or 42 in my interviews.
Define a reference. Like, are they saying like, hey, it's the new era?
No, I'm saying like explicitly referencing advantages that happen in those seasons or players.
I'll take the over on that too. Seems top of mind. Yeah.
When asked what their favorite moment in Survivor history is, over under, five times a castaway mentioned Eric Reichenbach giving away his individual immunity necklace.
I'll say under, but yeah, that's it's pretty much like a go-to.
And Lee, a little self-serving in this one, but I talked about how this was a cast of big fans. Over under, four castaways referencing some form of Survivor podcasts or patron programs or fantasy leagues or any sort of like super duper fandom in the course of their interviews.
Okay. I will say under.
Okay. So we've locked those in, much like the Survivor 42 logo. And we'll see at the end of our three interview sessions if you are indeed correct on the lines.
Okay. All right. Mike, anything else for Survivor 43 before we start to wrap this up?
No, I'm just really excited that the secret is out and now people are getting to know this cast. I'm excited for you, Rob, to get to know these people through the interviews and for us to, I think, really speculate. I think we had a lot of fun with that, especially in 42 when we knew the tribes ahead of time as to like who's going to join up with who, you know, who could be on the outs initially early on. I think a lot of those worked like both for and against us in 42. But the more I talk about this group and the more I think about this group, the more excited I get. I mean, listen, 482 is going to be a really tough act to follow. But I have always been beating the drum that the most consistent, best thing Modern Survivor in the U.S. has going for it is the casting. And I think this is another, you know, knock out of the park, or at least a nice line drive.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about what we have coming up. Okay. We are doing a lot here over on Rob Has a Podcast. Of course, when you become a patron, that is, if you think you're having fun now, wait till you become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. We've got,
and it's not even the dangerous kind of fun.
Not even dangerous. We especially shy away from the dangerous kind of fun. Now today, hold on. Put the keyboard down. Okay. Today's August 31st. Mm-hmm. Don't do it today.
Don't
do it today. Listen,
bank it now. Don't
wait,
take the risk.
Wait for tomorrow, September 1st. Of course, we're doing so much stuff with Big Brother. And that's why this graphic is so jam-packed, because we still have all the Big Brother stuff going on. And of course, we will be doing more stuff for Survivor as well on Patreon, including, I think what I'm going to start doing this season, Mike, is I think I want to start recording the alumni interviews and invite the patrons to join us live for the recording of those, like we've been doing for Big Brother, and then put it up for everybody else. And you can ask your questions live with the alumni when we record those interviews. Plus, if we get an announcement going on a live show location, of course, the patrons are the first to know there as well. So many more benefits as well, all at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Okay, Mike, what's coming up for you?
Well, a lot. Many things. More plugs in the electrical grids running tribal council at any happen moment.
It's very specific, so, yeah.
Yeah, as I mentioned before, the Survivor 43 preseason interviews. So just to outline what is happening. So I'm doing, again, two interviews a day over at parade.com, one at 10 a.m., one at 2 p.m. Like, we're driving a car, driving our way over to
10
the
and
premiere.
2.
Yeah, Survivor 43. Those are going to be up over at parade.com. So I am going actually in the order that we just went through. So I'm going Baka, then Coco, then Vessi in alphabetical order within Tribe. Rob and I are going to change it up a little bit just to, you know, so we're not doing complete one-on-one matchups between written and audio. I think we're going to start with Vessi, then Coco, then Baka. Work our way Baka words a bit. So that's all happening at parade.com. You can, of course, look right now. We gave the bare bones preview, but I have the photos up right now of the cast as well as the full bios, which we will certainly get into, I think, once we get down to the nitty gritty with this cast. Also at parade.com, I have exit press for the reality TV that's also still happening in the midst of this Big Brother 24. People who have been following it, I imagine you'd want to hear the exit interview that Rob and I are both working on from our respective outlets. So that is, of course, happening on Friday.
I thought it was such a good question today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Bank it. Bank it for September 1st and beyond, much like the patron pro, the possible patrons. Then, of course... And then weakest link reference? It's like the Condoleezza Rice days. Oh, man. Whatever happened to that woman?
I think she's still out there.
What's her name? Anne Rice, maybe?
Anne Rice was the author of Interview with a Vampire, but it was Anne something.
Close enough. Then maybe the same thing.
You work on your plugs. I'll fact check.
Yeah, so as we're working on who was the host of The Weakest Link, so that is happening over at parade.com. And as well, Rob, I talked about The Amazing Race 34. That cast has already been released for reality TV fans. Bit of a couple familiar faces in Derek X and Claire. Really familiar face for you. Rob, we get to spend an entire Amazing Race season talking about Rex Ryan.
Well, let's see how far he gets.
I mean, no matter what, I think foot races will be very interesting for him.
For sure. For sure. Anne Robinson also, the host of...
Anne Robinson. Oh, knew it was an Anne. So that's all happening on the reality TV side of things. And of course, as I mentioned before, Survivor South Africa, Return of the Outcast has just concluded as of last week. Really fantastic returning season. It was hardcore. It was 24 episodes, 4 episodes a week for 6 weeks. A lot happened, but those of us that were along for the ride had such a fun time with it. Shannon, Gus, and I did weekly recaps of that, and we're starting to do our deep dives. We did a deep dive with the winner that went over 6 hours long.
Come on.
You say that as someone who talked with the last winner of Survivor for like 5+ hours.
Yes. Okay.
Listen, if you knew who the winner was, you'd understand why that was the case.
Okay. But,
so we had a lot of fun with that and more to come with that in the coming weeks leading up to 43. But there's more. I got an elevator to show you as we take it all the way to post-show recaps, where Rob, you and I actually are both in separate podcasts talking about House of the Dragon, which has got off to a roaring start, for lack of a better term. Those first two episodes have aired. I do Sunday night recaps with Grace Leader. You, of course, get back on the line with a previous Survivor reporter himself, Josh Wigler, every Wednesday to talk through their feedback, the listeners' feedback, which is a really fun podcast. I'm also covering The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power, which is happening. Again, everything is happening at once. Tomorrow, at the time of recording this, the first two episodes are dropping. I'm getting together with DM Philly to do that. And so much more to come. Andor's premiering the same day as Survivor. And eventually I'll be talking Star Wars there as well. So too much good stuff. Too much good stuff happening.
Too much good stuff.
And I count myself just insurmountably lucky to be able to not only get to talk about all that, but to get to have the opportunity to interview these contestants and get into them a bit more with you, Rob, over the next bit of time.
Yeah. Just follow Mike Bloom on Twitter. You get everything he's doing. Okay. All right.
Yeah,
Mike,
that's the TLDR of it.
It's so fun to go through all of this with you. Really looking forward to getting into all of these interviews that we're going to hear what everybody is really like. So it's not just like we're looking at these pictures. We're going to be able to actually sort of really get to know these personalities. Make sure you subscribe. RobIsAWebsite.com/subscribe. That's where you'll get the show links to everything that we're doing on all these different reality TV shows. Thank you so much for joining us. And if you are watching us here on YouTube and you have not done so yet, hit the subscribe button to be notified for everything that we're doing for Survivor, for Big Brother. Of course, the Survivor Know-It-Alls is right here on YouTube as well, live after the episodes. That's at robisawebsite.com/YouTube. Thank you so much for watching. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.